trusted and proven, pushing the limits on every shot. We never fear failure. Join us as we set ourselves against the odds, bringing you cutting-edge voices in every industry. This is the Ironclad Podcast.
All right. Nick, man, we're super excited to have you today. For those of you who don't know Nick, we've worked together on a few projects, and I knew of you through a few different things, right? I knew of you through the tactical industry because we do so much in that world. And we started working with Eagle, and we're doing an awesome series about hard chargers that are getting it done. It's called Eagle Beyond, and we worked with you. And, man, we hit it off. I was inspired. We were actually just talking before this podcast about you triggering something in me to start enacting not only in my life but with Ironclad. So we're excited to dig in and just chat with you.
I'm really excited about what you guys got going on, and I will be a consumer of this content because I need it.
Yeah. Well, for everyone who doesn't know, we'll do a quick kind of pick up on where you are and what you're doing. But I really want to talk more about why you do and how you do than necessarily some of the stuff that people can read in your book, right? Like, I think that stuff is super valuable, but man, I was so inspired when we just started chatting about mindset and started chatting about what you're able to tap into and the purpose that you tie to things. But before we even talk about that, let's talk a little bit about what you're doing currently and kind of where you what you've been developing over the past 12 months.
Oh, man. So I kind of looked at business and media and everything that we had, what was opening the doors. This was several years ago, right? I started to look at all the gigs that I was getting and what people wanted from me. And I would see my peers, my mentors, people out there in the industry doing it. And I would be like, they were always looking for the next thing, right? It was like, almost like living paycheck to paycheck, but living gig to gig, or media job to media job. And I was like, this seems backwards, right? Because as you get from one job to the next, you obviously become more popular and you have more viz on your brand and what you have and what you have to say. So I kind of, before we did that, and as it was kind of happening, before it got really where it is today, I started to build foundations of like where I can make money. And so I did that. I started to build my business and I started to build other businesses. And then we ended up with 7 businesses. But now when people like yourself, you know, hit me up, they start digging in. I like what this guy has to say. What is he about? They find Johnny Slicks. They find my gym. They find my training books. They find that I have a shipping and printing store. Maybe they need some stickers. You know what I mean? But they become more invested. It's like almost like a human being click through, right? So the past 12 months has been continuing to build that, continuing to push this book. We currently are, and this is kind of leading up to this and where we're at today, is we just started a testosterone replacement series on the channel, and really talking about people's health and testosterone, because there's a ton of negative stigmas out there. There's a ton of like bro science, if you want to call it, yeah, or whatever it may be. But there's a lot of people out there that are dealing with these sort of issues that are not being addressed. So on top of, you know, ramping up, like my speaking career is getting ramped up faster than I ever anticipated. So apart from that, we're also doing kind of like what you guys are talking about, info videos on different types of subjects that are not being discussed that are going to help people. So that's really been our focus, is just business. We're making a baby, or we've made a baby. We're cooking a baby right now. we could talk about that, but business, the books, this new series for YouTube, and then everything else that's going on personally, that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, what I think is cool about you is you've really learned to optimize how you do things. Everything kind of has a synergistic relationship from your businesses to where you live to you know, the content that you're pursuing to put out. You're not necessarily chasing the momentum of oh, this is what people want, this is what people want, I'm going here. You've started developing what you want, and that momentum has then fed the people, right? And people enjoy that. So how important is finding that that synergy and that optimization in your life and your business and have it all kind of combine into one thing?
I think that if you're playing the long game, right, like you can go out there and make funny videos and try to always chase the next viral video, or you can always chase, you know, the trends and that sort of thing, but you will always be doing that, right? Like, and people have done it and they're wildly successful, but will they be successful for 10 years? Will they be successful for 20 years, 30 years? And that's kind of the way I look at it, is like, I am going to build things to where I'm thinking 30 years down the road. I'm thinking, what does this do for my lineage? What does this do for my kids? Like, where can they pick up on this and continue on? So when it comes to that, I think anything that's not authentic in this day and age, because of how the internet and social media and globalization is not going to last. Like, people are craving authenticity. They want to know the real deal. Like, they want raw information. And I think that that's where I've really just tried to focus on what we push out, what I say, what I share, is all super authentic, and it's my life. Like, this is, I'm not just saying this because YZ, I'm saying this because this is these are experiences that I've experienced. These are failures that I've had. These are struggles that I've had. And I want to share that with you so that you don't have to go through the same things.
Yeah, I think that's good. And you know, think about this, and I think about this a lot. It's like, you know, learn, live, then give, right? And but when I was 22, you couldn't tell me anything, right? And I had to learn it the hard way. But if I would have had that shift in my mindset, if I would have understood that, man, I can learn from these dudes that have already made the mistake, or women that have already made the mistake, and then I can make my own mistakes in something even higher or bigger, better. You know, how do you get through to guys like you or me when you're young and you can't hear anything and you have this big vision and you're going? What do you say to those guys about learning from a guy like you, hearing some of the adversities, hearing some of the mistakes? How do you get through that skull, or do you?
I mean, it's really up to them whether they want to listen to it or not, but I do, and I come at them hard and fast. I mean, because a guy like me at my age and a guy like you at your age probably needed somebody to be like, listen, dude, like, all you think, you're thinking this, let me enlighten you on what the real world, you're going to fail. So I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. I'm like, no, you're not. You're going to fail. You are going to fail. If you do not execute steps 1, 2, and 3, you're setting yourself up for failure, and which is okay. But I just want you to know that you're going to, well, what do you mean I'm going to fail? I've been doing this, I've been doing that. Yeah, it's welcome to life, bud. Like, the percentage that you're going to make X, Y, you're going to make it here, or you're going to make it there, is slim, man. You have a fraction of a chance to actually do it unless you execute these things, you know? And so I'm very fortunate to, you know, my buddy and I really looked at this from a asymmetrical warfare kind of thing. So we come from a special operations, you know, FID UW background, right? So I started to look at where the problems were with a community, and I started to go, okay, well, we're working on them on the back end, right? But if we want to fix the guys here, we need to start way over here. So we started to heavily invest in connecting with the youth, connecting with high school kids. And that's where they've got a million freaking questions. They feel like they're entitled to all the information beforehand, you know, and like guys like myself, like, we didn't have any information. You just showed up.
Yeah.
You showed up. You couldn't prepare for it. You didn't know anything. You just showed up and you did your very best, right? Well, now because of this right here, you know, because of phones and the internet, I mean, you can research and look into things in depth in depth before you show up, and you almost have more information. You get information saturated with what the subject that you're looking for. So what I get, you know, then they hit me up and I'm like, listen, first of all, you're 15 years old.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you're 15. Stressing about all this stuff is ridiculous. What you need to do is stay the hell out of trouble. Get as you're 15. Get as physically fit, be turned into a mutant. Get as physically fit as you possibly can. Like, be an athlete. Be the best athlete you can be. And then, like, what else are you doing? Are you learning languages? Are you doing – what are you setting yourself up for success? Are you just playing Xbox every day with your friends? And if so, are you going to be a professional Xbox player making millions of dollars being sponsored by Microsoft? You know, if that's not the case, then you need to start doing things that are setting yourself up for success in your later in life. And I'm not saying you don't enjoy yourself and enjoy life, because those years, you and I both know, like, you don't get those back.
You don't get them back. But
you don't get them back.
But if you can set yourself up for a head start by having those edges, man,
you're a decade ahead of everyone else.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for me, you know, sometimes I feel like, you know, I'm behind. I'm 37.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what I know now, I could be way ahead. But what I did in my 20s was I was focused on one dimensional thing. I was going to be the best this thing. I was going to be the best force recon marine. I was going to be the best raider. I didn't even think about everything else. And all those failures that we're talking about, yeah, I did all of that. I literally screwed up every single step along the way. But all of those screw ups led me to my 30s, which, like, it clicked. It, like, started to click on me. And that's when I tell people, like, if you are going to fail, but if you don't ever try, you'll never know what could become.
Yeah.
You know, you show me somebody successful, and I show you the same person that failed 15 times for that one success.
Yeah.
But people are so afraid.
They're afraid. And not only that, but I think that there's a mindset that I don't think there's an acceptance that failure comes with the territory. You know, where once you've been there, you almost – it's not that you crave it, but if there's no win or lose, where's the fun? You know what I'm saying? Like if it's just win, 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 well, that's just cruise control, and that's not a challenge, and that doesn't make you better, and it doesn't make you want to get up earlier. It doesn't make you want to push yourself harder. So, like, the lose part, having consequences is just as fun. That's like when you're watching a game and you're not betting against one of your buddies. Like, there's fun when you have the competition. So, man, if there was no failure – It would kind of make me depressed.
So there was a guy that hit me up, and he goes, hey, I'm working for this guy. He's not really running his business well. It's starting to tank. I've really been wanting to start my own business and go my own way and do it for myself, because, you know, I have it. You know, I'm good at what I do, and I engage with clients well, and, you know, I've got a good thing going. But, you know, I'm just an employee, and I really want to do this for myself. But he straight up said, but if I break out on my own, I'm afraid to fail. I'm afraid if I'm going to fail. And I said, well, let me clear it up for you. You're going to fail. I'm like, but you're going to fail, but you will never succeed unless you get through some failures. And he was just like, oh, I never really thought about that way. Like, yeah. So, hey, don't worry about it. I'm letting you know you're going to fail. So,
yeah.
Just get that over it, and then you'll find out. And I told him, I said, honestly, this business idea, whatever you want to do, it might not even be the end thing. Like, along my journey, like, I set out for a certain idea, set out for a certain thing that I was building. That is not what I have today. But I never would have today what I have today if I didn't go through all those failures and then didn't, like, go down the journey. And I told him, I was like, you will never get to where you're supposed to be if you don't start.
Yeah.
If you stay where you're at in your little comfort zone, your nice little comforty bubble with all your pillows, like, you're never going to be where you could be.
Yeah.
You have to go.
Exactly. And I think the comfort zone is where dreams go to die, you know?
Yeah.
The couch. The easy road.
I've been talking about – I like the way you said that too, because I've been talking a lot about being uncomfortable and that, you know, that word uncomfortability. And, you know, everybody's seen those little diagrams where, like, the comfort zone, Like, if you're in your comfort zone, you are not making forward progress. If you go to a gym like Planet Fitness and you just walk around with your styrofoam cup of coffee and you're just chatting with everybody and you get on a machine, you do a little something, and then you get back and you talk to somebody, like, you are in your comfort zone. Planet Fitness breeds comfort, right? Come here, work out $10 a month and just be comfortable. No one's going to shame you for being fat, right? But you come to my gym and you see, you know, 20, 30 people at a time being very uncomfortable. They're hurting. It sucks. They're pushing weight. They're pulling weight. They're sweating. But what happens when we get uncomfortable in the gym? If we want to grow an arm, we want to grow a chest, we want to grow our legs, you have to let that thing burn. When it starts to burn, it becomes uncomfortable. What happens then? Growth. It's the same thing with anything. It's the same thing with being on YouTube. It's the same thing with, like, growing a media business. It's the same thing with anything in life. If you are uncomfortable, it means that you are putting yourself outside of your comfort zone and you are growing. And every time you do that, it gets a little bit easier, which means your comfort zone is expanding, and then you have to push it further. Just like this, just like these interviews are creating media or are doing public speaking. Most people go, oh my God, I could never get in front of, you know, 500 people and give a speech. Of course not. That's outside of your comfort zone. But if you push it and you do it, guess what? You'll grow.
It grows,
And you never know what's going to happen if you do that.
And you know what? You become addicted to the results. And that's
you do.
That's the coolest thing. And when you really start realizing, you know, being content with where you're going but not being content with where you are on the path is that's that balance that people have to figure out. And I wish it for more people. You know, I really hope people can really find that. You know, where do you find that? Because you have to have that, you know, even with your muscle growth, right? You have to have that recovery time. So, you know, for a guy like me, I find it in my routine, right? I find it in my AM routine, my PM routine, knowing that I can center myself and get back to it. Where do you find that recovery time so you can continue that growth in life?
You said it right there, man. It's routine. I build that into my routine. So, like, I wake up, it's hot tub, it's, you know, then cardio, and then I go do my, I get ready through my day, and then I do my day, I do training, I come back. It's like hot tub and meditation and cryotherapy, and there you build whatever you need to be healthy. And, like, you have to find that part of that journey, right? You have to find what works for you, and then you schedule it. My recovery time and my refresh time is just as much as my training and my output time. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, you have to, like, people think that I'm just going to go, and then you're not going to refill your tank. You're not going to invest in yourself. You're not going to do any sort of personal development. Are you listening or reading to a book? Like, you can go, but what are you doing for yourself? Where's the recovery? And we talk a lot about physical recovery, but what are we doing for mental recovery? You know, how are we re-inspiring ourselves? How are we learning more things? And the only way to do that, if you're going to live a life like I live, right, as busy as and as high intensity as it is, you have to build it into your schedule. It has to be part of your lifestyle. And it gets a little heavy on the output, and I'm not building it on the input, I start to crash.
Yeah,
I'll start to get worn down, and I'll start to, like, I don't feel the same way. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not feeling as good. My output isn't as good. And it just shows through everything. It shows through, you know, family, business, friends, and then actual, like, the output of the business. So.
Yeah. And I feel like the more you get that routine down, the more you understand, you almost know, it's almost like a savings account. You know how much output you can hard charge when you want to, how sustainable that is. And then that manufactured pain that you're doing on a daily basis,
right,
allows you to talk about that. Because, you know, for me, I know if I can manufacture a little bit of pain, whether it's through discipline exercises or whether it's through physical exercise or whatever it may be, if you hate reading and you read and like, you're that much more prepared for adversity. And how important is manufacturing that on your own?
For me, I'm a sicko, man. Like, I'm like a sadomasochist when it comes to like all this stuff. I don't know if it's because of my youth and growing up with nothing and like living in that kind of environment. I don't know if it's from my days as a reconnaissance Marine or as a Raider where you're just constantly pushing this uncomfortable thing. It's like being on patrol and or being on a long ruck run or something. Like, I would just feed off other people's misery. Like, I would be miserable too. Like, and I could be falling out and just like sucking at life, right? But as soon as somebody like outside of me or like behind, like I start seeing them suck more, it's almost like I draw from their power. And it's like it gave me energy.
Yeah.
But that's kind of the way it is with life for me. Like, if I'm in a comfort zone, I start to kind of panic. Like, I need, like, if, like, just like a superhero needs a villain, my villain is adversity.
Yeah.
Like, I need an enemy. I need some sort of adversity to balance me out. So if I don't have that, if I don't have a villain, meaning like hard work, failure, something else, like there's no balance for me. There's no yin and yang. And like, and then that's when things get really, people start to be like, I think Nick needs to do something.
Yeah.
He's, you know, cause then I'll be all over the place.
Yeah, man.
You know, but if I've got a mission, if I've got this villain, this adversity to fight, that's what pushes me forward. And it could be anything. It could be like, you know, not being prepared for a speech, not, you know, not be on game with public speaking, not being on game with reading a book. Maybe my physical stature is not where I feel like it needs to be. Maybe my diet's not. I have to have something to attack.
Yeah.
And that's me. That's what drives me forward. And that's why I'm always trying to level up. I'm always trying to the next thing.
Yeah. So speaking of that, how do you identify those places? Where are the chinks in your armor and how do you identify those on a daily basis, you know, or is it on a quarterly or annual? What are you doing to assess those types of things?
Yeah, I think that I'd probably say it's more of like a quarterly thing because it's, you have to analyze where we failed. So as like a team and as a person, you know, it's kind of like there's levels to it, right? Like you have to analyze it as like a company. You have to, as it, you know, each company needs to analyze it. Then we have to look at that personnel. And then my relationship, and then me personally. So you have to kind of, it's always a self-analysis and a retrospective look of one's self-awareness to look at and go, okay, where are we failing? Where do we win? Where's our wins? Because those are the most important, right? So this we did really good, but where do we drop the ball at? Who did what wrong? Like, where did I say something wrong? Where did I misstep? Where did I not put energy into? And that's where you start to like tighten up. But if you don't have those hard conversations, if you don't get uncomfortable and talk about your, not even your failures, but your weaknesses, like that's goes back to being uncomfortable, right?
Yeah.
Like nobody wants to talk about what they suck at. They just want to talk about how awesome they are and all the things they can do. But like, let's talk about, like, you want real growth? Let's talk about some uncomfortable shit that nobody wants to talk about. And you can even get into that with your relationship. And I really like this one. Just as you go into the gym and you get uncomfortable and you lift there, like, when's the last time you've had a real uncomfortable conversation with your significant other about feelings? And like, this is what makes me feel. Like, yeah, sure, you can have a relationship. You can bury it deep because it's like, it's not worth bringing up. It's their thing, whatever. You bury that deep. But what happens over time? You become resentful and then you guys start to separate. You don't talk about anything because, you know, you're trying to, you just let it go or bury it deep, and then it pulls you guys apart. But if you really are supposed to be with that, your significant other, then you have to really get uncomfortable about some uncomfortable conversations and talk about where you're at. And either it's not going to work or you're going to grow together.
Yep.
But the only way to have a really good relationship is you have to get uncomfortable and have those conversations. And that's anything with life. It's like your business. You have to have uncomfortable conversations about your business. Maybe it's not going the direction that you want to go, but the direction it's going. Are you comfortable going down that road when it's even not even your original idea, which it never is, right? It never is. It always takes on a life of its own. You know?
They all do. Everything. Anything of value are things that you have to constantly challenge, right? Anything of value,
right.
whether it's something as intimate as your faith, something as like a relationship, something like your business. And it's just like we bring it back to these physical things. It's like, yeah, if there's a tumor, you're going to cut that thing out, because otherwise, right, if you ignore it, well, no good comes from that. You know, no, yeah, good comes from ignoring it. And it's the same thing with relationships, business, faith, whatever it is. It's going to get bad if you ignore the simple, small things that could have easily just been cut out, just like that.
So on growth and working hard and all this thing, you said something that made me think in my wife's book, How Not to Be a Miserable Cow. I think it's in there somewhere, but it's basically like, do you wake up in the morning and go, oh, how do I feel today? What should I do? How do I feel? You know, if you wake up and be like, I don't know if she's in here. Is she in here? Is that what you said?
She's correcting your quote.
Oh yeah, that's what. So if you wake up and you check your emotional temperature on how you feel that day, and that's gonna, like, that's your output for like what I'm going to accomplish, you don't have enough going on. You're not pushing the limits, because like as a grown-up, most people don't wake up going, oh, I feel fabulous. No, I mean, no, I don't. I wake up because my body hurts, and I'm like, oh shit, I need to get in the hot tub and loosen this thing up. I'm, yeah, sore, I'm hurting, I've got a million things to do, my mind's on fire. But I never wake up and go, how do I feel today? Do I feel like going to work? Do I feel like doing this?
Yeah.
You know, like, nobody cares, man. Nobody cares how your feelings are, or what you feel about anything. Guess what? Your kids don't give a shit if you are sad or happy or nothing. They just need you to take care of them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you have to wake up and execute, regardless of how you feel. And that's where, like, your attitude, I just talked to a bunch of chiefs about this, like, your feelings do not dictate your attitude. They're completely separate. You know, yeah, I might not feel great, I might not feel happy, but I can't allow my feelings to dictate what attitude I have, because my attitude is what actually changes the day and changes my progress. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes total sense. And I think the other thing is the compounding interest of that mindset versus the compounding interest of always pushing yourself, because, like, yeah, that mindset, look, what, 40, you're dying at that age. Your body's dying, yeah, right? Your mind, yeah, is, your body is, and all these things. And so many people have a young mind until they don't mature their mind until they're older. And then, mm-hmm, at that point, you're way behind the eight ball. You're dying. I mean, you have, yeah, 40 more summers, 39 more summers.
And 30. We've seen it, right?
Yes.
We've seen it. We've watched those people hit that, and they just go into their comfort zone, and you just watch them wither and die,
yeah,
in life.
Yeah. So with the compounding interest of improving yourself, improving your mind, improving your family, improving your business is exponential. The compounding interest of chilling is just down. It's it.
It's all down, yeah.
There's no life is happening to you at that point. And there's nothing.
Yeah, this is my message to those people. If that's your thing, if you're just chilling and you're into it and that's your life, then that's cool. But I don't ever want to hear you complain that you don't have something. I don't want to ever complain that – I don't want to ever hear you complain about money. I don't want to ever hear you complain about anything other than life is good and I'm chilling. If you ever say, I don't have enough to eat, I don't have enough to live, I don't have this, I want my relationship better, I want this, I want this, I want this, I'm not hearing it, bro. Like, because you're putting nothing into it. You're not entitled to anything. You only deserve what you work for. So if those people are like, hey, man, I'm just chilling, hey, good on you. You should be the happiest person in the world then, because you want for nothing. But as soon as you say, I want this, or this isn't right, or I do this, like, you're done. You're freaking done.
Yeah. And I think, you know, when you talk about contentment being a whole person and living for purpose, it really comes down to identifying what your pillar, what your values are, your pillars, and how are you living towards that? Because to your point, it could be chilling and just being with my family and just constantly investing my time there, or it could be building and impacting people and doing those things. But I think another important thing is really identifying those purposes and pillars, and to your point, when you show up, things evolve. You know, when you, yeah, show up, things get, your vision changes, your purpose changes, your goals change. And the importance of showing up, it's there, man.
So a lot of people, you know, ask about purpose and you know, vision and like their calling and that sort of thing. And this is what I always tell, because like I get a lot of people hit me up and they're struggling. Like, I don't know what my purpose is. Well, no shit, dude. You haven't started your journey. Like, the point of the only way to find where you're supposed to be is start traveling down the road, trying things, try everything. You know, like, I like this. And you know what? What if you find something, it might be your purpose today, but in 10 years, it might not be anymore. Like, we go through chapters of life, right? Like, for me, the military was a chapter. I closed that chapter and I started writing another one. I almost feel like I had a short chapter between the military and now. Like, I feel like I'm on a different chapter than I was the previous 5 years. If you don't know what your passion is, then you have to start going down the yellow brick road. Like, you have to start traveling to Oz, you know, but you never know where that road's going to lead you. But if you're not doing anything, you're never going to find your purpose. The only way to do that is to start trying things. Get a job here, start a business, fail at that business, close that business, start a new business.
Yeah.
You're never going to end up where you're supposed to be unless you start traveling down the yellow brick road.
That's good, man. So here's another question for you. Because, you know, the people that are listening here are either young people trying to come up, or people that are already on our level or higher that are enjoying listening to guys like you, enjoying listening to perspectives from us. What are you doing now to learn and grow and learn from other people's mistakes? Who are you listening to? What are you reading? What are you doing once you know, because too many people are like, I'm on this, now I'm just focusing on my journey right here. And you forget that mindset that we're trying to preach to the younger guys to learn from our mistakes so that they can grow. Well, who are you studying now? Who are you listening to? What are you doing?
I think that if you really want to master your profession, you want to master your life, you have to, education is an ongoing thing. And I don't necessarily mean like, standard education or college or high school. Like, I don't really believe in that, even though I am. One of the things that I am doing is I'm in a business, business entertainment master's program currently, which I find is extremely valuable. I've used what I've learned there in my public speaking. So you know, Robert Greene's books, John Maxwell's books, Simon Sinek's books, I read all those things because that's knowledge is power, right?
Yeah.
If I could take all of that kind of stuff and life hack the hell out of it and apply it or see how, and maybe some of it's bullshit. And, you know, I honestly think, like, you know, like Robert Greene's 48 Laws of Power, it's a great book. A lot of those laws are complete horseshit, and I would never treat people that way. I mean, I get where he's coming from it, but me personally, like, I don't necessarily agree with everything. But it's also has to do with, you know, learning the good and the bad. So I do that. I do. I have several mentors where, like, when I go out and public speak, I give a 4-hour lecture, and then we spend an hour in the car of one of my mentors, and he just dissected every little thing that I said and said, if you would have said it this way, you would have had more impactful. You know, it would have impacted the audience that much more. You know what I mean? And I was like, holy shit, he's absolutely right. Like,
yeah,
that, you know, twisting a couple words, it changes the whole thing. It makes a huge more impact. So, even at my age, I learned a long time ago that there was no such thing as an expert. Now, I think there can be you can master something, but the word expert it seems too much for me. I feel like we'll never know everything. Like, not to sound weird, but I feel like we're too insignificant in the universe to really say that I am an expert or I know everything, because things are constantly changing and there's always more to know about a subject, always. So I let that thought process that of an expert go and basically said, I'm always a student of life. Like, I will continually learn from everyone, the good, bad, and the indifferent. Like, I will learn from everyone. I think that everyone has a story to tell, and everyone has a lesson that you can learn from. And that's just kind of the way I've approached it. And doing that opens yourself up to possibility instead of being like, well, no, this is the way it was done, my day, and this is the way it works. And you just try to force a way that works that doesn't. And instead, I refuse to do that. I refuse. At my age and as I get older, I want to constantly innovate. And the day that I stop innovating or the day I stop learning is the day that it's over for me. So it means growth is done.
Yeah. There's a verse, it's too much is given, much is required. I like that. Yeah. I try to remind myself of that kind of thing. It's like, you know, you got a lot of people watching you. You know, you've got a family that depends on you. You've got employees that depend on you. Mm-hmm. You've got however many thousands of people are watching you through your YouTube and social media. It's required of you, you know, and can you talk about that? Does that tie into your head at all when you're for your own growth, for your own motivation, or is it just ingrained into it?
No, I actually dig it. I dig it because of this. I think it holds me accountable because a lot of times I'll go back and watch a video and about, whatever, say a relationship thing that we were just talking about. And I'm like, oh shit. Or I'll go read a passage from my book, or I'll go read something that I gave a public commitment to. And I'm like, oh, I'm not sticking up to that. So it almost keeps me in check. Like, those viewers and those people that are, I don't want to say depending on me for something, but that are looking for guidance and looking for inspiration or education, which is basically my old mission statement. I look at that and it holds me accountable. And I like what you said. I like that verse that you said, but I also feel like the whole Spider-Man thing, you know, great power comes great responsibility.
Yeah.
And it does. And it, you know, and you can do that for yourself, right? You can build that thing and be completely selfish with it. Or you can do it for, like, what I would say, I guess, the greater good, right? You can give back, because I believe that when you invest into others, as painful as it sometimes be, and you will get burned, people will burn you. But in the big picture, you win at the end. Like, you really, truly win. But so when I look at all those people that you said, you know, depending on me or looking at me or watching me, I think it just holds me accountable. It keeps me on my game. It keeps my diet on the game. It keeps my fitness on the game. It keeps me being authentic. It keeps me, like, it keeps my meshes on point. And I purposely have done this. I've purposely came out publicly and said, I am going to execute this for this time, and then I'm going to achieve this. And if I didn't do that, I don't know if I would have.
Yeah.
But because I made that public commitment, right, which is actually one of Robert Greene's, like, 48 Laws of Power, because I made that public commitment, it holds me accountable, saying, hey, they're watching, you know, I've got thousands of people, you know, oh, you failed, this and that, you know. So it's like it lights a fire under my ass to keep moving forward.
Yeah, there's power in writing it and claiming it. And people
yeah.
get mystic about it, like, I've claimed it. It's the secret. I've written it. No, that's not it. It's setting the goal and making it public and letting people – essentially, accountability.
Yeah, that affirmation to yourself,
yeah.
right? You know, it's like it is. And there's a huge power in speaking it, and there's a huge power in, like, believing it yourself. And if you look at – okay, like, you take this conversation away – go look at every Olympic champion ever. Go look at anybody that's ever won a huge title. What do they say? I woke up every morning and I pictured me receiving a gold medal.
Yeah.
I believe that I had already had the memory of me getting a gold medal because I believed it so much.
Yeah. And you have to have that self-belief. I think there's also, you have to visualize the worst. I also think you have to visualize the adversity too, right? When you're visualizing these things, so you know how to be prepared for these things, how to react to them, how to achieve higher.
I love that. You know, one of the most awesome commercials, and I'm going to use it. I'm going to download it, use it. Have you seen the new Gatorade commercial about your opponent, your enemy, your villain?
No.
Oh, you got to go look that up, man. It's probably a 30 second commercial, but basically, it's saying something along the lines of, like, there's your enemy, your opponent. It's a sports thing, right?
Right.
It is there for you to, like, he's there to make sure that you fail.
Yeah.
And what they were saying is find that enemy, find that opponent, and then push against them, because that's what's going to make you great.
That's
awesome.
Because
he's there to make you fail, and it's up to you to push back. And it's such a short thing, but the way that, you know how, you guys have done commercials
yeah.
like that. But I mean, brilliant. You're going to watch it and you're going to be like, oh, this is,
yeah, I'm going to look it up after this.
Yeah. But that's kind of the thing, right? It's like that adversity, finding that person, finding or no, like picturing what could happen and pushing back against it.
Yeah.
Again, that's like, that's where all my fire comes from, right?
Is yeah.
That my villain is adversity and always has been my entire life. It wasn't until my late 30s that I really realized like, oh, that's what that is. That's why I have so much adversity in my life.
Right.
Is because I need it. Like, just like the Batman needs Joker, you know, Nick needs a problem.
Yeah.
You know, to push back on him. So.
And I think that balance is you get the, it seems like some of the younger generation only sees the, I visualize myself with the medal, and if anything else, they shut down, right? And it's almost an entitlement.
Apart.
And
yeah,
then some people visualize only the bad, and then they're too afraid to do anything. So you have to you have to be a well-centered person. You have to understand this. And that's
the person. And it's kind of scary, right? Like we've worked with some people that they could list out 20 things of negatives that could happen, right? Doom and gloom. And I'm like, okay, like tell me one or two good things. They can't. Well, if all you can think about is doom and gloom, I hate to break it to you, bud, but that's all you're gonna get is doom and gloom. If you can't say one or two things that are positives in your life, whether it's your significant other, your job, hell, your car, your coffee in the morning. I really appreciate this cup of coffee. This is amazing. This is gonna make me a great day. Like, you're in a scary situation and you need to really, really change your perspective, you know? But on the flip side of that, like you said, you can only picture good. You're the super optimistic, which is like me. I'm more probably the super optimistic. But then you never kind of can see or have any sort of balance with the negative. You get crushed. It crushes you, right? And then it's hard to recover from that.
It is. You know? It is. I love talking like that, though, because data has become something I used to hate, but now I love it. I play it against, and then I'm completely confident walking into something. Worst case scenario, best case scenario, I've understood it, I'm going.
So this was actually given to me by one of my public speaking, I guess you could say life mentors, but he did a workshop with a medical firm that they basically work in a laboratory, right? Well, as you know, in a laboratory, they're basically, you know, whether it's creating, you know, a cure for the common cold or cancer or AIDS or whatever it may be, right? You're creating medicines that are trying to accomplish something, trying to achieve something. And what happens in a laboratory is experiments, right? You're experimenting with things and you fail, right? Experiment one. You go to experiment two, and then you go to experiment two to the 100 or 1,000, whatever. But in a laboratory, that experiment, when it fails, is accepted. It's part of the laboratory process. It's part of the journey, right? And the way he explained it was like, listen, life is a laboratory. We are all conducting experiments that fail until we have the experiment and we get the right ratios and we achieve something. And I feel like people don't look at it that way.
Yeah, that's good, man. I love that.
Life is a laboratory, and we're all just trying to – we're all conducting experiments trying to find the one that works.
Yeah, and to that point, it's controlled failure in the laboratory. So the more you can manufacture that controlled failure, the better off you are. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, but I just love that. I love that concept. And since I started telling people that, it just kind of clicked. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm not so afraid to – I'm going to have to move forward and do something because then I can just move past it.
That's great, man. So we're coming to an end. I have a question for you it's kind of on the spot, but I want to start implementing something for our listeners that they can enact immediately, right?
Yeah.
So the question is, if you were to give our listeners, whether they're a 75-year-old grandma or a 15-year-old athlete, a 5-day challenge to start right now, like today, when they hear this, what would you tell them to do that would impact their life for the positive?
Okay. Day one, write down everything. I'll do it by day.
Okay.
And I'm just going to go off the cuff. So here we go. Day one, I would say write everything down that you're thankful for. Day two, write down three goals that you want to achieve. And I don't care what they are. It could be literally like cutting the grass, or it could be like becoming president. It doesn't matter.
Right.
Day three, right? Day three, okay. That's your goal, is your end state. All right. And then day three, write down where you're at. Okay. Where am I currently at in life compared to those goals? How far away? Day four, create a, yeah, now you have to turn the journal sideways. Okay. Yeah. You need to go to landscape mode. Go to landscape mode and then start creating phase lines. Okay. So phase lines of like, if I want to be here by this date and I'm over here, how many phase lines are in there? What do you have to achieve in between that right there? And then day five, you build your execution plan. You build your calendar, you build your steps, you build your journal, whatever it is to get you to that level. Because if you, and the reason why I say all of that is because if you are saying, I'm going to write a book, I'm going to publish a book, we'll go to the end. Writing is the easier part. If I'm going to publish a book, I want to be a published author. Well, that's down here. What is over here, and what's all in between that you have to do? And I think that's where, you know, another thing that my wife says is you know, a goal without a plan is just a wish. So build that. And the reason why I say day one is start without what you're thankful for, because that's the mindset that you need to go into. Prior to that, you need to walk into something saying, I am thankful for these, and I want to execute this, and then I'm going to build the plan of how to execute, and then day five is how I'm achieving it.
Yeah, that's there awesome. And just those practices in general on a day, any goal. I mean, and people forget these things, you know, so I think it's very valuable, and I'm excited to continue to inspire people. I'm excited to roll this out. I'm excited for what's to come with the Eagle piece. That thing's going to impact
really
people, man.
That.
It looks awesome. And, man, some of the stuff that you say in there, it's inspiring. So I think that people are going to dig that piece.
I'm looking forward to it, man.
So
really
what do we want to plug? What do you have going on? How can people find you?
My name, Nick Koumoulatsos, YouTube and the Gram and all the other places. It's just all my name. My website's my name as well. So if you ever, anybody needs anything, if anybody wants anything, hit us up, hit me up. I'm always willing to talk to everyone.
Awesome. Nick, man, it's been a pleasure as always. Can't wait for more. Can't wait to work with you more. Inspiring dude. And every time I talk to you, I get fired up. Like I said, you pushed me on something, what was it, a month or two ago? And
yeah,
we enacted, and like I said, October 1, we got some rollout. So I appreciate it, man.
I even hit up Tony. Tony hit me up.
He told me. He told me.
Yeah, I was like, hey, where's these videos, bro? I'm waiting for them.
Yeah. We're building a bank right now. So like I said, this is, it goes to claiming it. You know, four pieces of original content a day starting October 1.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. I'll be right there.
Cool, man. Well, we wish you the best with the growing family, with the businesses and everything. We're a phone call away and looking forward to more.
Okay, awesome.
All right, Nick. Thanks, man. Right. See ya.